Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic at 7.04. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
In studio.
Yeah.
I went to check the clean feed to see if you were there.
Oh, did you?
As I heard you rustling around over here. That's not good. It's not
a
good
start.
You know,
you just want to make sure I'm here in any whatever form.
We are glad you're here, and we're going to have some fun this morning. We got a bunch of good things lined up for us. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit, and Mel actually sent us over a fun story to kind of kick things off. We're going to get into those in just a moment. We also, of course, have, after Melissa's news, we have to get into a couple of good ones here, Mel. I've got a guy who rented a billboard to find a wife.
Oh.
And it didn't go well. Spoiler alert.
You kind of want to feel sorry for him, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. We will get into CBS News at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, and then we'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center with a live direct update from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Mm-hmm. And after all that, we're going to get into 13 things we should have learned in high school.
Oh, yes. Remind us what we forgot or didn't learn.
That's all we need right now is that to be told to us this early in the morning. Hey. We'll get to that. Afterwards, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, 9 o'clock hour. I have some entertainment news for you. We'll get into some random facts at some point this morning as well.
Right.
And we'll get into some entertainment news in the 9 o'clock hour. Then I write stories, good stories of the day. All of these things coming up for you. We'll lead you into Morning Magazine, our first one of the week. In part one, we're going to welcome in our good friend Ruby Marty. She is Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to have Ruby on with us and talk to her and everything. We're looking forward to that. And in part two, we'll catch up with our friends from the Southwood County YMCA.
Oh, good.
Looking forward to that. We may have some tickets to give away today.
Excellent.
Be listening for that. All those things going on. Melissa, how was it getting in this morning?
Oh, it was pretty good. I had one, minor hiccup. I saw a deer.
Yeah.
I slowed down. I had quite a ways to, it didn't see me and it didn't move until I had already, slammed on my brakes and basically stopped in front of it. But it just turned and ran away. And there was a train. But I found a new way into town.
Now you're really starting to become a regular. Once you start finding the ways around trains, that's when you know you've been in the area long enough. Yes.
Yep.
That's good.
So I made it in on time and good to go.
Did I tell you about the albino deer I saw?
Yes.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
So cool.
I don't think I've ever seen one that size before. It was huge. I took a couple pictures. I got to put them out there because it was just too beautiful of an animal not to share.
It's the one that I saw earlier this year, because I literally stopped and looked at, because it was so still. I was like, is that real? And somebody put like a statue of an albino deer just on the side of the road.
I know in the winter they do a great job of camouflaging.
Oh,
they really do.
They
good.
Blend
too,
right
almost
in.
Too good of a job. That's there is a family that lives by our old stomping grounds by the old station and near my folks' house. There's at least, I know for years we've seen them over there, so I know there's at least them, but I haven't seen one that size before. That thing was huge.
Massive.
It was in good shape.
Yeah.
Looked like it had been working out throughout the winter and everything.
Work out.
Gets out, it had to tell me that too. Like, I work out. It's like, I get it, man. Yeah, okay. You didn't have to tell me. You need to know where the beach is? It's like, you didn't have to flex, all right? That was a little much. It was a little... Melissa sent this one over, and I wanted to make sure that we started the show with this, because I just thought this was a great, I like starting with good stories and a fun story. Melissa, you want to take us through this, or you want me to?
You go ahead, because I read the headline, and I was like, this is for James.
Right on. The headline, as Melissa's touching on, cemetery staff take out personal ad for goose whose mate died.
Aww.
And find her a new match. Big thank you to Steve Hartman and Carrie Breen for the reporting on this one. Thanks to CBS News, our good friends over there. There are a few things sadder than a love story being cut short or something. One such story comes out of a cemetery in Marshalltown, Iowa. where employees noticed that a goose, Blossom, was out of sorts after the death of her mate, Bud. Bud and Blossom.
That's cute.
I didn't catch that the first time I read it. Blossom and Bud have lived on the pond in Riverside Cemetery, but after he died in August of 22, Blossom's behavior changed. General Manager Dory Tamian said Blossom started spending time near the front office, looking at her reflection in glass windows and on model tombstones. She wanted company, Tamian said. After watching that, Tamian got an idea. Tamian posted a personal ad for, quote, lonely widowed domestic goose, writing that Blossom wanted, quote, a life partner for companionship and occasional shenanigans.
I love it.
If I was doing personal ads, that's exactly what I would use.
Yes.
That is exactly that. I'm actually going to copy and paste that.
Occasional shenanigans.
That is so perfect. Is that not what everybody wants in a relationship?
Well, yeah. Just,
okay, yeah.
Somebody you can have fun with and, you know, occasionally toe the line.
Yes, yes. She said, Blossom is youthful, adventurous, and lively.
Mm-hmm.
The joke worked better than anyone could have possibly imagined. Tamian soon heard from Deb and Randy Hoyt, owners of a widower goose named Frankie. And just like Blossom, Frankie was in need of a mate. He was so lonely, Deb Hoyt said. Randy Hoyt saw the ad and said, well, that'll be great. The Hoyts and Tamian set up a Valentine's Day blind date for the birds where Blossom welcomed Frankie with open wings. Now the two are spending all their time together. They can't be separated. They spend a lot of time at the cemetery and then at the lake. Both quiet spots, quiet places.
Nice.
Quote, they started walking off together and they haven't really left each other's side since.
Oh, that is so sweet.
That is a
That's
wonderful.
It's like the next Pixar movie.
It pretty much is. That's what I'm waiting for, though. Yeah, that I don't know. It's just a beautiful story. But I also think that there's like, I want to know if anybody's going to steal any of those lines to use on like their profile pages and things like that.
Occasional shenanigans.
I think that's just too good of a line.
That's great.
I was curious about something. Do geese mate for life?
I was just going to ask you that question.
Oh, yeah. I
know some do.
Yeah, most Canadian geese pair with a mate at age 3, though some begin this process at 2 years old. Pairs usually stay together for life. If one member of a pair dies, the other goose usually finds another mate within the same breeding season. So they do move on.
Well, yes. but if they are together, they for the life of their, you know, that's really cool.
It's romantic. It's sweet. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's also very practical that if it doesn't happen that way, that, you know, okay, well, how much longer do I got in the breeding season? All right. And get to work. I'm just going to steal Blossom's personal ad. You know, that worked for her. I'm going to use Blossom's ad and see if that'll help me, you know. You just can't. Now, this has got to be difficult. With human beings, it's pretty hard to have this happen. But with geese and animals and everything, I imagine if you're on a dating profile, they look a lot alike. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but like a lot of geese look alike to me. I'm not sure if I can say that out loud. But yeah, so it's fair, right? It's okay. No, actually, it's worse if I'm not a geese, if I'm saying that.
Well, I don't know.
No, I think that you need a good tagline, because if they all look similar, you know, or the same, you're going to need to stand out somehow.
Well, you know, if you look at enough dating profiles, James, they all start to look the same anyway.
Yes, that's true. I've got one other one for us here.
Okay, good.
We are, usually we wrap up the show with that. I write stories of good stories of the day. We go good story, romantic story till I'm pitching something to Melissa for Kitchen's Open.
Does it have to do with bacon double cheeseburgers?
No, actually it doesn't.
I'm surprised.
Yes, it's. I was actually surprised myself. Yeah, I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Like I'm taken aback over here.
Be sure to listen every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour for the Kitchen's Open, and a big shout out to Chatterbox Restaurant.
Yeah, Melissa, our sponsors.
Melissa does a great job with that show. This ice cream shop is trying something different. We go to Berlin, Germany, where an ice cream parlor has expanded its menu with a skin-crawling offering, cricket-flavored scoops with dried brown crickets on top.
In Germany?
Yeah.
Okay.
The unusual confection is available at Thomas Micro's store in southern Germany's town of Rottenburg. That just fits. sorry, had to. In the past, he's offered liver sausage and gorgonzola cheese. How do you say
gorgonzola?
That?
Gorgonzola.
Gorgonzola. Gorgonzola.
There we go.
It was gorgonzola. I couldn't get it. Gorgonzola cheese
from
ice cream.
From the non-cheese eater over here.
Right. As well as gold-plated ice cream for €4. Just $4.
Oh.
So he's offered these things before. Quote, I am a very curious person and want to try everything. I've eaten a lot of things, including a lot of strange things, and crickets were something I still wanted to try, also in the form of ice cream.
Okay. That doesn't really go together in my mind, but no. To each their own.
But if I am going to try crickets, I would prefer to do it with chocolate or with ice cream or both.
I don't know,
if
man.
I'm going to do it. If
chocolate, do it. Yes. Ice cream, not so much. I'm like a, a very, you know, chocolate chip cookie dough kind of gal.
Me too. I hear
crickets. Crickets. Crickets don't play in either, but no. Neither do crickets.
I should mention my grandfather was really adamant about like just tasting the meat, like with steak. He didn't like having sauce, you know, sauces and
Heinz
stuff.
Yeah,
like
those kind of.
So that's how I've inherited that from him. If it's a good steak, I want to taste the steak. I'll have a little A1 on the side maybe to dip one or two, but I want to taste mostly the meat.
Makes sense.
With something like this, I don't know if
just
that's necessarily
just douse it in chocolate, caramel.
Just keep dumping syrup on it. Just I don't know.
I mean,
don't...
if you're just into it for the crunch, couldn't you just add some nuts?
Ooh. You know, not to say that, though, that is one of my... I do like a good crunch in things. I do like... I
would
wonder.
Imagine that crickets are a little crunchy.
I like... There's certain insects I don't know about, but with this one, it's been around so long, so many people have been doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there has been a lot of recent talk, but this is... I mean, it goes way back.
Yeah.
And people have eaten insects for as long as there have been people. Because it's a source of protein. And it's not a terrible one. We rely on insects for so much on this planet. In fact, the loss of some insect populations are threatening our very existence.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Insects are important.
It's not just the bees we need to save.
I don't know if I want to eat them.
Yeah, I think I like them where they are. I don't need them on my plate.
And please stay outside of my house.
We didn't always have bacon double cheeseburgers, and it gives you appreciation for the bacon double cheeseburger that we can eat that and not
cricket double fly burger.
No, we're going to break. To break on that one. I'm going to have to.
I don't blame you.
I can't. I honestly got nothing on that one, Melissa. Like you stumped me on that. I got nothing.
You're welcome.
We'll take a quick commercial break. Anytime you can shut me up, the audience is happy. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you on this March 7th, and it's time for us to dive into what is special about this March 7th. It's National Crown Roast of Pork Day.
Ooh, yes.
That does
are pretty.
It does look very fancy and very well presented.
I've never made one, but I want to.
Let me see here. Okay. The pig is one of the oldest forms of livestock since approximately 5,000 BC. Its relative was the wild boar. It was domesticated in the East and to this day is the most eaten meat in the world. That's impressive. I did not realize that about pigs.
Man, I believe it. I can't say I knew it either, but it makes sense.
Let's see what else is going on today.
Bacon.
Yes, bacon alone, you would think, let alone everything else you can, that pigs give us. But yeah, bacon for sure. It is Unique Name Day, or Unique Names Day, I should say.
Ah, we have a lot of those.
There's a ton of great names out there. I feel bad for my son, and I don't at the same time. So I always wanted to have a different name than James. I've come on the air many times and mentioned my father wanted to name me Vincenzo. This is part of the reason you hear my older sister, Terry, call me that from time to time.
Yes.
But for my son, I was like, all right, well, I wanted... And it was a very similar story to where... I don't want to say my... We went 50-50 on it, but my ex-wife kind of was the one that really like, no, we should name him James. We need to keep the tradition going.
Keep the tradition, yeah.
And I was on board with that for the most part, but there was a part of me that wanted to name him Vincenzo. There was definitely a part of me that wanted to do that. But his middle name is Kevin.
Okay.
And that is, I think it's a very cool and unique name. Mm-hmm. His daughter, Isabel. Isabel Rain is mm-hmm. our youngest. And my oldest, Bria Ann Krieger. Middle name is from her grandmother, my nana. Oh,
nice. I love it when you carry on names like that in the family. All of my siblings, our middle names are after all our grandparents.
I think even though it's a traditional name and it's one that's been passed down, it still has its uniqueness because of its story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one cool thing about this that I didn't realize as a kid. I thought you had to be named X or, you know, Bo or something cool, you know, something like that or whatever. It's more about, to me, as I got older at least, the story behind your name.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to make it just as unique, if not more unique.
I agree. But then I would say that recently, the unique names, it's been about the spelling.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Like, I like to joke, when I was working for the high school in Toma, I had to remember, like, 4 or 5 different spellings of McKenzie.
yeah.
and it's important to those students. You know, your name is important. And to be able to have somebody get it right is just refreshing, especially when it's not the traditional spelling.
You said that for your family, it was middle names that mm-hmm. they... Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that, actually.
Yeah,
that makes it fun. Can I put you on the spot and ask your middle name or no?
Yeah, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Oh, that's after my grandma on my dad's side.
Your name sounds like a stage name. Melissa Elizabeth Kay. Like it sounds like a 60s actress name, sort of. It does. It sounds really good. I like that.
Well,
or 50s maybe.
I did change my last name here not too many years ago because I was time to get rid of my married name. And my grandma, actually my namesake, asked me, "Well, why aren't you going back to your maiden name?" Well, Grandma, Lindbergh doesn't really just roll off the tongue very well. So she's like, oh, yeah, oh, that's a good point.
I hear you. Mailoff isn't exactly is the role itself.
Well, I can't tell you how many times, because the area that I grew up in, there was a lot of Linenbergs.
Mm.
So I would get called Linenberg all the time. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that I would just tell. It's like Charles Lindbergh without the H.
Yeah, and I don't know if you really want that.
No.
I mean, if it's not your own is all I mean. Mm-hmm. You know? It is Plant Power Day.
Hey, plant power.
There's a lot of noise about vegetarianism and veganism these days. And while there is much good coming out of these movements, it can be tricky fully eliminating certain food groups from your diet. Plant mm-hmm. Power Day is the perfect solution for those trying to include more foliage in their meals and move towards a more plant-rich diet, as this day is all about prioritizing plant-based foods.
Plants play an important part in our diet, and I have a, you know, great appreciation for them because with them, I can have the things they're talking about, like alternatives to other foods you can't have. Most plant-based cheeses are actually quite tasty, and I can have those versus the regular cheese that makes me ill.
Mm. I'm a carnivore, and I admit that. I will probably die with like a big thing of steak in my mouth or something like that. But I'm noticing that the more greens I get, more vegetation,
plants.
Yeah, what are those things called? Vegetables. Yeah.
Yep. Those are them.
It's really bad. It was not intentional. I was struggling with the word vegetable. That's not good. That doesn't help my argument.
It's before 8 o'clock, James. It's all good.
What's those things that are good for you? I can never find them. They're never on my plate. Oh yeah, vegetables.
I'm getting deja vu here. We've had this conversation.
I'm trying to eat more of them, and I'm noticing that I'm enjoying meat more because of having the contrast.
Yeah.
That's been a fun thing.
It's
nice.
And I also love meat. Mm. I eat quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
But the plant based things also add a lot more variety to my diet.
Mm. Although there have been a recent upsurge in diets that avoid animal products, plant-powered eating has been around for thousands of years for both practical and ethical reasons. Early proponents of vegetarianism, for example, include Buddha and the Greek philosopher Pythagoras. So a lot of that, though, throughout history, actually.
Well, plants played an important part in our development as humans because plants were easy, you know, they didn't run away from you. So they're pretty easy to catch.
It did help. It did help. It was definitely something that worked out for us.
Don't know what just happened to my screen. There we go. It's National Be Heard Day. That's certainly a good one.
Hear us. We are speaking.
This is this one. I know it has some important. Small businesses have many challenges to be successful. It can be exciting, exciting experience to start a business and do something that you love. The reality comes in getting your message out and bringing and paying customers in.
Mm-hmm.
Getting marketing advice can be expensive, and the proposition and every penny counts. Small business. So National Be Heard Day is the day to make things a little easier. This is a day for small businesses. It's a mm-hmm. day for local businesses to get out there.
Yeah. And we love to talk about our local businesses here at WFHR. If you're a local business, reach out to us. We'd love to get your word out.
Yeah. Be a part of the team. We'd love to have you on board. We just showed this with our $1 million advertising giveaway,
mm-hmm.
Which all of us are very busy from.
Yes.
All of us are continuing to work on commercials and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of local businesses, our friends at Quality Plus Printing, who I'm working out a spot for right now,
nice.
Will be with us tomorrow, Wednesday, on our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Damn.
Spoil, you know, just a quick shout out to them and that and everything. But any chance you have to help out small businesses, and we're very fortunate. It wasn't just the pandemic that showed us this, but this area has always been really good at supporting your local businesses and that, and buying local, supporting local. That was a phrase that really got highlighted during the quarantine, during the pandemic, but it's something that we've been doing a long time around here.
Mm-hmm.
It is National Sportsmanship Day. There could be no sports without sportsmanship.
Okay.
That's just me. That's just the way I feel about it.
Well,
it was
kind of the point of it, isn't it?
Everything about sports starts with my dad for me, because he was my first, not only my first favorite athlete, but he was a very good athlete that I saw firsthand right mm-hmm. in front of me, whether it was boxing, hockey, whatever. And watching my dad play hockey, I'd see my dad and these guys beat the living daylights out of each other on the ice. And this is at a time when the guys didn't play with helmets. So you could really see the damage on faces and things like that. And I will never forget these big toothless grins of these guys as they're in line shaking hands afterwards after they just got done beating the living daylights out of each other. Or my dad would be in a boxing match, and win or lose, after the match, they'd hold one guy's hand up and both guys immediately would hug. And my dad, I remember oftentimes laughing with the guy he was just literally beating knuckle to knuckle against and everything. Sportsmanship. Sports means nothing without sportsmanship.
Yeah.
It's great. I love sports. It's fun to watch. Scores are cool. Championships are awesome. Sportsmanship has to come first.
Yes.
National Sock Monkey Day.
Sock monkeys are cool.
Sock monkeys are great. I haven't seen one of them in a long time, though. Fun little blend of folk art and kitsch sock monkeys are simple and delightful toy that represent a bygone era. The traditional sock monkey is made from a specific type of sock with a red heel. Let's see. When red heel socks were introduced in the U.S. in 1890, just a couple of decades after the sock knitting machine was patented, no one could have guessed how much delight children would get from these. Some stories say that the sock monkey was a product of the Great Depression in the 1930s, but more reliable sources show that they didn't appear until a couple of decades later, sometime in the 50s. In fact, a patent for the sock monkey pattern seems to have been granted in 1953.
Wow.
Yeah, I was curious.
It was that old.
Alexander Graham Bell Day.
Hey.
Take a moment to honor this master inventor of the telephone and other inventions on Alexander Graham Bell Day. Born in Scotland in 1847, Bell was educated in what is now the UK and then eventually moved to North America in his early 20s. But even from an early age, Bell was interested and curious about the world around him. By the age of 12, he had invented a de-husking machine that his friends' families used at their flour mill for many years.
Hmm.
And a lot of other great inventions Mr. Bell invented.
Did you know that he didn't originally have a middle name?
No.
Yeah. Well, he wanted one, so for his 11th birthday, his father allowed him to adopt his middle name, Graham.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a cool. That's cool. That's a good story. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you don't know much about, we talked about this on, I think, a National Telephone Day or whatever. If you don't know much about Alexander Graham Bell, I did in school, you do biographies on people and mm-hmm, stuff. I did one on him, and it's very interesting. Got a lot of great things that he did.
Yeah, he was great friends with Helen Keller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of the. I believe it's part of the reason where the telephone invention, the idea of it, came from.
Well, and he worked with hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's cool.
I always felt like all the notoriety Edison got, he should have got.
Mm.
And nothing against Edison. This is a man who actually invented some things. Like, so it's a, you know,
and,
I don't know.
And a lot of them.
Yes. Quite a few.
And then fought 600 lawsuits over just his telephone patent.
Yeah. National Flapjack Day.
Ooh.
Flapjacks, also called pancakes in the U.S., have a history that dates back hundreds of years. It is unclear exactly when they originated, but it is believed that that even the ancient Greeks had a sort of batter-like concoction that they would pan-fry as far back as 25,000 years ago or more.
That's a long time.
It's pretty impressive.
That's, yeah. 600 BC, pancakes originate.
It's pretty cool.
But it's a very easy way to make a quick bread.
Yeah.
As opposed to baking it in an oven.
It's not the most, invention. You know, it's not created the telephone, that's for sure.
No, but it's still delicious. Cool.
I just feel for them. I don't know how long before maple syrup was invented. And really, it's just not the same without maple syrup. It's
no,
just,
but honey is a pretty good alternative.
Yeah, actually, yes. You're right. You're right. That is. Yeah. And finally, it's National Cereal Day.
Cereal.
Rejoice. We actually are going to be talking about National Cereal Day when we get back from break. We've got a couple of fun facts about that.
Mm.
Cereal got its start in the 1800s as an unappetizing and difficult to digest health food. we've had hard to eat health foods as long as the 1800s. made of nuggets of bran, it was thought to regulate what was a meat-heavy diet.
Mm.
Most Americans at the time ate mostly pork and beef. The diet of the time was very unhealthy, and those who wanted to improve society thought that they could make changes in diet that would bring spiritual and social change as well.
Okay.
Dr. James Caleb invented the bran nuggets to help the patrons of his sanitarium. A sanitarium was a place where people would go to recover from illness or injury.
Perhaps caused by chewing on bran cereal.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but it is interesting how Kellogg's and a lot of the cereal got their start in not insane asylums, but that is the old wives' story about it and everything. It was actually in a sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a huge difference back then, to be fair.
No, there wasn't. Dr. Kellogg also played a big role in the development of a cereal.
Yeah, very big.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful to them because over half my body weight is cereal. So I'm very thankful. Thank you very much to all the cereal
and
companies.
And also, you know, the addition of sugar.
Yes.
Oh, has made
yes.
it far more palatable.
Love sugar. too much
sugar on cereal.
We will take a break. When we do get back after Melissa's news, we are going to get into National Cereal Day and some interesting stats about that and more coming up on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I have no idea what this is. Oh no, I do. Oh dear God, no. Oh, I know.
Aww.
I know.
The very beginning threw you off.
Yeah, it did. It did. It's just shocking because it was etched into my brain as much as they played this.
It's not until the saxophone kicks in you're really sure what it is.
You don't know until you hear that. Okay, I know at least circa 1980 to 1989. I know that much. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great day out there and you're enjoying National Cereal Day.
Hey.
Get some cereal in your life, maybe. In a new poll on foods, 89% of people say that they prepare cereal by pouring it in and then adding milk, like normal.
Mm-hmm.
But 11% of people claim that they put the milk in the bowl first. Some say it gets less soggy that way. That's insanity.
Well, all right, I have a couple thoughts about this. I think the proper way to do it is, like, first, you have your cereal, pour in your milk, you eat cereal. Then you add more cereal, because you still have milk left over.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically, you're doing both things.
True.
But if you add the milk first and fill your bowl halfway full of milk, which is about how much milk you'd use, and then you add the cereal, wouldn't that be messy? Like, yes. Wouldn't you have milk splattered everywhere?
Yes, I know this because my little sister liked to do this all the time. Saturday morning cartoons when I'm in charge and I'm watching her and my little brother, and she liked to do this. And then, like a week later, my brother, who saw her older his older sister doing it, wanted to do it as well. Yes, yes. So they both thought this was hilarious, and they would do this all the time.
And then you had to clean up the mess.
Yeah, and it never went well. It never went well, and they'd both be hungry afterwards because there's not as much cereal in the bowl.
The only reason I could think to do it is if you're measuring exactly how much milk you're using, and you don't then want to have dry cereal, so you are measuring in the milk. And then you're only adding as much cereal. I don't know. That seems, I don't know. It's just
part
weird.
Of the point of cereal is simplicity. I grab a bowl. I pour into a bowl. I pour in the bowl again with milk, and I'm done. Right. I just shove it into my mouth. Yeah. I love it. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's quick. I don't have to cook, bake. I don't have to do any of these things.
You just have to go in the cupboard and in the fridge.
So I'm not about to start measuring out milk to make sure I can do this for somebody. You know what? If you don't want it to be soggy, eat it faster.
Yep.
Eat it.
Or eat it dry.
Yes. Yes. I love dry cereal. Dry cereal is great.
It is great. You can eat it with your hands.
It's a good snack.
Don't even need a spoon.
I love cereal. Cereal's good for you, too. Certain types of cereal. here are some other food results from the poll. 57% of people said yes to the classic question, should pineapple go on pizza?
57%?
Yeah, over half. That's the first time I've ever seen it over half.
Huh. Pineapple's pretty amazing, though.
I also think that that's no longer kitsch or anything like that. Yeah. That's not really like, that far out there anymore.
That's not the controversial question it used
to
be.
No.
How about pineapple and peanut butter on a burger?
No.
Yes.
No. No.
With cilantro. No. It's amazing. No. Jennings. Go to Jennings.
Have it.
You'll love it.
I might try it.
Because there's also sriracha on there.
I really do like Jennings. I really do like their food. They got great cooks over there. So, yeah. 59% of people say that they consider tomatoes to be vegetables, not fruits. Although that's not really up for debate.
You can't just arbitrarily decide.
Look, I know that there's a lot of people nowadays that just like to speak their own facts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make them facts.
Nope.
Just because, what are you, a politician? What are you doing here? You can't do that. Only politicians get away with that stuff.
Well, but they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. And hopefully we are holding them accountable for that. But yeah.
But James, I think that we should just, decide that a celery is a fruit.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not going to fight you on this.
No. if tomatoes can be a fruit, vegetable, celery can be a fruit. We eat it with peanut butter. I mean, mostly it's good with sweet things.
You know, as long as we're doing this and we're going to, we're erasing stuff and, we're going to rewrite it in with pencil and everything.
Right.
Chocolate is a vegetable. From now on, chocolate is a vegetable.
Sure.
If we're going to just be able to do this, all right, that sounds cool to me. Like, fine.
All right with me. Just rearrange the plate.
I'm eating my vegetables. Leave me alone. I'm just diving
into a
chocolate.
That's a Hershey bar, James.
9% of people put ketchup on their fries rather than on the side. Hmm.
Oh, like douse their fries
in
it?
I see, yes, yeah.
Okay.
I have always been the on the side guy with everything.
I like choosing
how much to dip. I like dipping, and I like, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just messy the other way.
It is kind of messy, yeah. 87% of people keep their ketchup in the fridge. 13% put it in the cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
My mother has always put it in the fridge, so I've always put it in the fridge because that's just how I learned. I trust her with that stuff. I don't know.
It does have a high acidic concentration, so it's probably okay in the cupboard for the most part, but I think it's recommended to keep it in the fridge.
I don't know why. Certain things just have always seemed better in the fridge. Like if you keep
them in the cold.
But I will say I don't necessarily think I don't like bread in there too long.
No, it keeps longer in the fridge, but it dries it out.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed. Mm-hmm. I learned that the hard way. I had a really nice loaf of bread, and I was trying to make it last. And the last half of it was just wasted pretty much.
Yeah. You're better off if you want to, preserve it, stick it in the freezer.
60% opt for smooth peanut butter over crunchy.
Mm. Yeah, I like them both, but mostly smooth.
Same here. I'm going to choose smooth, but I don't mind crunchy every once in a while.
Yeah, it just changes it up.
Yeah, man, it's pretty good.
And it's extra good if you make a crunchy peanut butter and jelly sandwich and put nacho cheese Doritos on it, because then it's crunchy.
You and my mother like are just a hair off with your food tastes. And your it's so
hey,
funny.
Hey, I
to
like
me.
Sour cream and onion chips on my right sandwiches on. Too.
Especially
a meatball sub.
You know, I say something else that I've heard that too. Lay's, a regular Lay's for her from my mom. That's what she usually uses. I don't know, with meeting and knowing more people with food allergies, it's also made me appreciate a lot of the foods because I don't really have any. And it's made me really appreciate that. Like I went for a stretch there because I ate peanut butter like crazy. If it wasn't some Italian food or cereal, it was peanut butter that was adding weight on me. That was it. And I kind of burnt myself out, and then I started eating it a little bit more here and there as I started knowing more people with peanut allergies. And not like at like business or
just
something.
Just taking it
I mean,
with
at
you
just
places.
Home, yeah, and just eating it in front of them. No, I don't mean like that. I mean like
no,
I just on my
made
own.
You conscious of it.
You know, Reese's Pieces, like, you know, snacks and stuff, peanut butter and sandwich, like those kind of things. I've made it, I've just appreciated it more.
Yeah, yeah. It does give you a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because you are picky about food. Because you have picky tastes, as opposed to someone like me who, I love tomatoes.
Yeah.
Absolutely adore them.
Yeah.
That was not always the case, but I do and I can't have them.
That's rough. That I'm afraid I might have been kicked out of my family if I couldn't eat tomatoes in an Italian family. Oh, my God. But then again, my daughter's lactose intolerant. She was born and raised in Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, and
yeah, they don't kick us out.
No, right. I've always felt for that, though. and like yourself, yeah. And 67% of people would prefer eating corn while it's on the cob.
67%?
That's a high number for
that.
Yeah. Corn on the cob is fun, but I'll eat corn either way. I like corn.
Yeah, it is fun to eat it off the cob, though. And have you ever had grilled corn on the cob?
Yes.
So good.
A long time ago, but it was really good. You're right. I wanted to ask this question the other day, and I forgot about it. Is corn any good for you?
It's pretty high in carbs. I mean, there is some good there, but it's not as good for you as like a green leafy vegetable.
Yeah.
I think that some dietitians consider it more of a carb than a vegetable.
They say here, along with what you were saying there, Melissa, so points to you. Nice job. this means it is a food that is digested slowly and doesn't cause any unhealthy spike in blood sugar. It also contains many B vitamins as well as essential minerals, including zinc, magnesium, copper, iron, and magnesia.
Good.
So it isn't.
So it is good for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hearing so many people say like corn is really good for you. It's just a filler or whatever. It's still good. Like it just even just because if it's just a filler, it's still good.
It depends on what form you're talking about because we do have a ton of corn in our diet that is not whole food.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So if it's highly processed, then it's more of a filler. But we're talking corn on the cob, you know. Go for it, man.
Grilled corn on the cob
Yum.
Is so good.
Can't wait for
so
summer.
Yes, yes. Every day, we're a day closer.
Yep.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun. When we get back, we got this guy that rented a billboard to find a wife. We got to get into that. We come back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings here on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa and James here with you. Just a couple of werewolves of rapids.
I'm going to fire Seth now. I don't know if I have that power, but right hand, watch out.
We'll find out. We'll see if it sticks. Fire him, we'll see if it sticks. We'll see. that'd be a fun way to find out that you have that power. Like you do that, and then you're like, oh, well, it actually worked.
Hey, ooh, oops.
It'd be like if you pointed your finger and go bang and it actually works. Like, oh, whoa. Oh, jeez. I didn't even know I could do that. I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Bad time to find out my superpower.
Did not know. Well, that's pretty cool, though. That's pretty nice.
Didn't hit anybody, did it?
Didn't hit anybody. Well, this guy did. This guy might be wishing he'd stuck with Tinder or some other like dating app or something. A 43-year-old named Robert Siegfried lives in southern Wisconsin and hasn't had a ton of luck online dating. So he recently rented a billboard to find himself a wife.
Okay.
I've heard worse ideas.
This seems kind of aggressive.
He lives in Janesville, about 70 miles outside of Milwaukee, a couple hours away from us here.
Mm-hmm.
And the billboard says, date Robert,
Wisconsin's number one eligible bachelor. And there's a picture of him in a cowboy hat, belt buckle, and sunglasses. And I'm going to see if I can show. Yep, there it is. And I'm showing Melissa the picture right now.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Kind of looks like a wannabe deputy.
I was going to say, to me, it looks like one of those attorney pictures.
Yeah.
Like attorney billboards.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't. Can we just stop with the attorneys and the hunting and the cowboy hats and all that? Like, I want to know that you can win my case. I don't care if you can hunt. Damn. I don't need you to be relatable or anything like that. Like, just be able to win my case.
Please,
like,
just know law.
When did that, like, actually stop?
Maybe your grades from law school. Can we see those?
Yeah, can we see that? I don't need the cowboy hat. That doesn't do anything for me.
References from your professors.
Yeah. The cowboy hat, Wisconsin. I'd be pleased. But, you know, it looks like he's actually looking for people to defend in law, not get in law.
Doesn't make me want to call him up for a date.
It says he's looking for a local honest woman, and there's a phone number you can call or text to leave him a message. He's planning to rent more billboards over the next few weeks if necessary.
Whoa.
No word on how many dates it's gotten him, but he has run into a few hurdles. First, a reporter interviewed him, and he asked her out during the segment. It sort of seemed like a joke, but she's quite a bit younger and politely declined. It was actually incredibly creepy and awkward.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was funny at all. I thought it was very awkward and very creepy. This part might be more of a deal breaker, though. The station covering the story felt the need to list one final detail at the end. They noted that someone filed a restraining order against him last year. We don't have the details, and all we know is it's a 4-year restraining order that's apparently still in effect. And he also faced a disorderly conduct charge last year. So if you're interested, I know dating's hard, but I still hope you have higher standards than this.
Well, and we don't know the full story, obviously. Everybody's got things that have happened to them in their background, but go into that with a measure of caution. If you are interested in this person, cowboy hat.
They don't just hand out 4-year restraining orders. That's all I'll say.
But
you are right. We don't know. And I don't know this person or anything like that. So who knows?
Yeah.
I will say that there's not. I don't know. I don't know who's calling this guy up. Who's texting this guy?
Well, maybe he's just lonely. This is a way to get a lot of attention.
That's very understandable.
For good or bad. I mean, he's getting attention now.
I get the lonely thing. Mm-hmm. I completely understand that.
And I also get the frustration with dating apps because they're obnoxious. And they're even more so for men. The difference between what men experience on dating apps and women is polar opposites.
Yeah.
So it's understandable in some ways, but that's a lot of money to pour into that.
Well, billboards aren't cheap. They aren't insanely expensive, but they're not cheap necessarily. We found this out because our old owner, Marcus, had a couple of billboards, and I was looking around at different ones and the prices of them and everything. So I could see this as that part. I'm just thinking, though, if you're going to do something like this, this isn't the guy to be doing it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. It's not like I'm an eligible bachelor. It's not like the bachelor's calling me up to have me on their show either or anything like that. Like, I mean, so I'm not like trying to throw stones here or anything. But I don't know. This does not necessarily seem like the type of guy that's going to do well with this. However, I'm waiting to hear a follow-up story one day.
Yeah. We want to hear a follow-up for this, for sure.
We'll wait and see if there's a follow-up story.
Oh, that's digital. Okay. So, yeah, a digital billboard would be quite a bit more near Janesville, like ranging from $200 to $700 a month. Looks like billboard advertisements for 4 weeks, $280 to $703.
All right. So if you're going to do this, I would do the digital billboard. But maybe he wanted the picture. I don't know if you can have a picture of yourself with the digital billboard.
Oh, yeah, you can. That's those TVs.
Oh, right.
Like a TV billboard.
I'm thinking of really old ones, yeah.
Those are super distracting. And I personally, as a driver, don't think they should be allowed.
Yeah, I have always wondered how they get away with that.
Yeah. Because that's far more distracting to me as a driver. I mean, as a passenger, sure, that's fine. But how many of us have passengers in our cars? Let's be real.
Yeah.
Especially in rural Wisconsin.
I don't know. If you are interested in this guy, maybe take a trip down to Janesville, see if you can find this billboard. Imagine somebody driving around looking for this billboard. just floating around all over the place, looking.
I would just look it up online if I was interested.
Yeah.
Not interested.
I don't think you need to.
Sorry, Robert.
I really am curious about a follow-up story to this, so I will say I'm very curious.
Did he specify on there what he's looking for?
No.
Oh,
no.
He did say honest woman.
Honest woman. He did say yes, honest woman. That's what it, looking for a local honest woman. Yes.
Okay. So, well, it's good that he specified.
Good luck with that, but to me, that seems like a that ain't right story. If it's not already one, it's one just waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. It's a that ain't right story any day now.
Like, we'll be watching for the follow-up to this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. last week, we were joined by our friends from the Grace Lutheran Church, and they have their Every Little Crook and Nanny play coming up.
Oh, cool.
It's an awesome play that they are doing. It is going to be going on Thursday, March 9th, Friday, March 10th, Saturday, and Sunday, the next couple of days. They have shows at 6:30 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They have a 2:30 show on Sunday. All these are taking place at the Grace Lutheran Church at 1531 Whitrock Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And we're curious... Does anybody out there want to go for free?
Cool.
Yeah. They were very nice enough to give us some tickets to give away.
Awesome.
So we have a set of tickets to give away here. Cool. We have a couple of them. If you are interested, if you would like these tickets, why not call up right now? 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation and let us know that you want these tickets. All you got to do is be our first caller.
What's the number?
424-2600. That is the number to call. Call up and join the conversation, and you can win these tickets from our friends over at Grace Lutheran Church. And again, this play, Every Little Crook and Cranny, is a not only a fun show, this is a great way for them to raise funds, to keep helping and putting back into the community like they do.
Awesome.
You can find out more by going to their Facebook page. Just type into your search bar, Grace Lutheran Church. Might be type into Wisconsin Rapids as well.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if you want these tickets, you want to see this show, give us a call, 424-2600. You'll call up. You'll win these tickets to the fantastic performance from the Grace Players presenting their 2023 theater production, The Every Little Crook and Nanny. Again, opening night is Thursday, March 9th, over at Grace Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR.